Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Kevin Herr filling in for Steve Jones today. Steve's on his way to the Big Ten Tournament. He'll be on the air with us at 3:30, not for the Steve Jones Show, but for Penn State basketball, as Penn State plays in their first game of the Big Ten Tournament, actually second game overall. That'll be tomorrow at 1:30, scheduled for about a 2 o'clock tip-off, but you know how the tournament games go. You're never quite sure when they officially will get started, because one starts so many minutes after the other one. And of course, if one game goes overtime, by the time the last game goes, it could be midnight before it's all said and done. We do know Penn State is the second game, and the good news is it will not be an overly late game, scheduled for about a 2 o'clock tip from Indianapolis. And again, we'll have that for you here on WKOK. In this hour of the Steve Jones Show, we'll have Allie Stevens talking with Vince Papale, the former Eagle and kind of movie star. Well, he didn't really star in the movie, but you know, his story was starred in a movie. We'll also have a conversation with Fran Fischer that Steve had last month. We'll give that to you again in case you missed it. And Doug Birdsong from the Soika will be joining me right before 5 o'clock to get you ready for Bucknell and Lehigh, a game that can be heard on Eagle 107, one of our sister stations, and eagle107.com. But as promised, a nice long conversation about his history with the Philadelphia Eagles. Allie Stevens caught up with Vince Papale.
If you don't mind taking us back to 1976, for folks who have followed your story through the movie and would like to hear your own personal account of it, just talk about, you know, what it was like going for open tryouts for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Teaching at my alma mater, Interboro High School in suburban Philadelphia in Delaware County. And I was the head track coach, assistant coach, teaching there for 6 years. And actually working my master's degree. And in between, to sort of keep myself busy, if that wasn't busy enough, I was trying to qualify for the Olympic trials in the decathlon, and I didn't quite make it. I don't think, not because of lack of talent, but because I didn't have the right score or pedigree, which sort of ticked me off a little bit. So I started playing these in these bar leagues and rough touch football leagues and those sorts of things. And one thing led to me playing in semi-pro football, and somebody saw me, and that led to another league, and then before you know, 1976, Dick Vermeil is coming in from UCLA after winning the Rose Bowl against Ohio State. He's new head coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. I never played college football. I was 30 years old, and season ticket holder for the Eagles for 10 years, and there was a free agent tryout. Dick wants to shake up the troops, and he had this tryout, and I was so nervous and so excited about going to the tryout that when I got into the locker room for the Eagles at first to go to the tryout, I got lost trying to get out of the stadium. And the tryout was at a field which was about a quarter mile away. It's a stadium that's no longer there. It was Municipal Field, but they used to have the Army-Navy game. And by the time I got there, I was about 10 or 15 minutes late, and Coach sort of noticed me, and he yelled at me about being late, and I made up some stupid excuse about not having the right uniform. We were only in T-shirts. But and I had my number 83 on. They put us in jerseys. And I guess he was remembering me for all the wrong reasons, but he threw us in the 40-yard dash. And well, you know what, I clocked the fastest time of all the 40s of the 200 or 300 guys that were there. And, you know, sort of caught his attention. And he said, all right, let's put you in another drill. And one drill to the next to the next. And I was doing pretty well. And before you know it, after the tryout's over, I was called up to the general manager's office, and he offered me a contract for $21,000 to play for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I thought he was kidding. I said, "What do you?" If I had a firstborn, I would have given it, you know, or the season tickets I had. But he said, "No, this is no joke." He said, "We really like you, and we think you have a shot." So I had 3 months to get myself ready for training camp, and pretty much the rest is history. You know, that's where the movie picked up, right when we got to training camp, the free agent tryout, and then the training camp. They sort of shortened the gap between the real time that I had to get ready and the time that I was actually there, but you know, a little Hollywood stuff. But that's it. And then the movie picked up the rest.
Was the movie an accurate portrayal from what you watched?
Well, you know, some of it was, Allie. They gave a really good portrayal of the, especially Mark Wahlberg. He was phenomenal. I mean, he promised me that he would make me and Philly and the Eagles proud, and he delivered. He was just so great, a great guy to work with, and I'm actually looking at pictures of him right now on my screensaver. You know, I mean, he's just a tremendous guy. And I love the way he portrayed it and the way they sort of had me. A lot of people say, hey, that's not the Vince Papale we know, but back then I was pretty shy, you know, withdrawn, and if I was going to make a statement, most of the statements I made was either as a coach or out on the athletic field. But they did play around a little bit with my love interest, and that's my wife, Janet. If I'm looking over my shoulder here, looking at her USA jersey from the gymnastics team she was on. And my wife, Janet, was a world-class gymnast, and they had her portrayed as a bartender and a Giants fan, which she was not, neither, but she had an uncle who had a bar, and that was about as close as it got. But, you know, that's what Hollywood wanted to do. They wanted to create some drama, conflict, and all those kinds of things. So they figured the best way to do it was to do it that way. But Elizabeth Banks, who played her, is just like Janet, effervescent, laughing, smiling, blonde, you know, the whole deal. And Elizabeth was terrific, too, as was Greg Kinnear, who played Dick Vermeil. And that was a tremendous portrayal of Dick Vermeil. Greg Kinnear just nailed it. And I think he should have gotten some sort of award for that, as well as Mark, for how hard he had to work in order to portray me. Not as portraying me, but how much time he put in to become and morph himself as a professional football player. He was terrific.
I was going to ask you next about the Dick Vermeil portrayal. You know, he was very heartwarming in that movie. And I got I've been an Eagles fan for years, and I got a much better perspective of Dick Vermeil from the film.
Yeah, you know, Dick's a warm guy, you know, and he really cares a lot about people. We didn't know that right in the beginning when he came to training camp. I know the veteran ball players didn't know that. They didn't particularly care for Dick because they'd never been put through a training camp like he did it. But, you know, Dick was not into entitlement. He figured you had to earn, you know, anything that you had, and he felt that it was a privilege, not a right, to play in the NFL. As a matter of fact, what happened, Allie, at one time, when the training camp started and I came in, and I was with a bunch of free agents and rookies and all these young kids, and I'm 30, right? And I had nothing to lose, and I was banging these guys around and just taking swings at everything, you know, from a metaphoric sense. And then when the veterans came in, I backed off, and it wasn't because I was intimidated. I was in awe, because here's these guys that are on the field that I'm on the same field with, that I've watched perform for so many years. I basically paid their salary as a season ticket holder. And now I'm there, and I was actually, I pulled back a little bit and was actually afraid to injure somebody. And Coach asked me what the deal was, and I told him the truth. He says, "You kidding me? That's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to bang these guys around." He said, "Problem is that they're too soft." And he said, "Give it everything you have." And he said, "I'll give you a couple, 3 weeks. You don't have anything to prove. Just show me what you did last week and show me you can come up to that level with those guys, and you have a great shot at making the team." And so he was my advocate all the way through, and you know, we're close friends now. I love Coach Vermeil. I just spent a couple of days with him a couple of weeks ago out at the Super Bowl, and, you know, he gave me the opportunity of a lifetime, and not too many people would give, and I owe him an awful lot, and we're close friends to the day.
Well, talk about how the movie changed your life, kind of thrusting you into the spotlight.
Yeah, you think? You know, I don't know if anybody's had movies made about him out there, maybe a YouTube or something like that, you know, or a home video, but this is like sick. You know, people say, when you put it in one word, and I try to use the word that it was surreal, but I'm not a surreal kind of a word kind of guy. You know, I'm sort of a meat and potatoes guy. It goes beyond surreal. It's insane. It really has changed my life. It's thrust me into a spotlight more than just Philadelphia now. It's a national, it's an international spotlight. You know, I'm here with my assistant, Patrice, and we're going through emails of orders of apparel from my website. You know, I'm signing books now and getting ready, you know, for the big event I'm going to be doing out at Geisinger next weekend, and you know, getting prepared to go to Puerto Rico to speak to a Fortune 500 company. You know, so there's that side of it. And then there's the other side. You know, it's the impact side, where people, you know, they write and they call, or they send emails, or they send stuff to be autographed, and saying that I was an inspiration to them. You know, or I impacted them in a way that no others have ever done, and I'm telling you, I every day is humbling when you get these, and I get them all day long. I have this one website web address or email address. It's just for fan mail, and if I read some of that stuff to you, bring it to your knees, and it does to me every day, and it's really humbling, and I'm grateful for what it's done, and also it's given my children, who weren't around when all this was happening. I've got an 18 and a 15-year-old. An 18-year-old, by the way, watch out, Allie, she wants to be in broadcasting. She's going to Syracuse. It's not too far from where you are.
Wonderful.
Syracuse next year. And that's a deal. But, you know, now gives them an opportunity to be a part of all that I was a part of 30, 35 years ago, you know, which they weren't around. So there's so many layers to what this thing has done for me and my family. It's tremendous. But the most important is the way I look at it. It's the impact that it's had on people and the way I have kids or people of all generations come up and say that, you know, what I did was something special, and they could find a piece of myself in that, which makes me feel wonderful.
Well, in the movie, we learned about, you know, some of the struggles you went through with relationships and finances and never knowing that your biggest struggle was coming, which was your battling colon cancer. If you could start about when you were diagnosed.
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting story. You know, and I look at those things as you know, with relationships and everything else and struggles. Yeah, I mean, that's sort of part of all the learning process, you know, and growing up and, you know, finally, in terms of relationships, you know, and you know, you have to have the right partner in life, and I have that, and that's in Janet, you know, my coach. You know, she coached at the University of Penn for 13 years, which is amazing, and it was because of her and her coaching that she saved my life, because back around 2001, you know, I took the test that nobody wanted to take, you know, the colonoscopy, and I was totally asymptomatic, and Janet says, hey, you know, you're at that age when you need to take this test. Your father had cancer, let's just do it. And when you know it, that I did it, and they found a polyp, for crying out loud. And the first couple they found were all benign, but that one that was tucked way, way up there at the top of the colon, they couldn't get on the first colonoscopy. So I had the joy of going through the prep again, and that's the one that had it. And it was totally encapsulated. It was a fairly good size. And, you know, when you get that phone call that you've got cancer, you know, and you're not even expecting it, for crying out loud, and it was Memorial, right after Memorial Day in 2001. And I'm looking at my kids, and I'm crying, you know, I'm saying, oh, my God, I'm never going to see my kids again. You know, Janet's trying, she said, would you get your head out of your butt? She says, come on, you got to pull together. You're supposed to be an inspiration. And because of her, I did pull it together, and, you know, I had great advocates at the healthcare system that I was working with at that time that eventually I became a spokesperson for. And they took the polyp out, and they did it laparoscopically. The polyp was taken out. They did a resectioning, Allie, and I had 18 inches taken out through my navel laparoscopically. And in three days, I was out of the hospital and walking a couple miles a day. And you know who the first person to call me? It was Coach Vermeil. Coach Vermeil was the first person to call me after I came out of the OR, and it's just that, you know, it's been an experience of a lifetime for me to have said I had it. I had no chemo, no radiation, and now I'm a spokesperson for colon rectal cancer awareness, and have been national spokesperson for a couple years for an event called Get Your Rear in Gear, and you know, locally I do a lot of stuff, and with March coming up and, you know, colon rectal cancer awareness month, it's really important that everybody gets screened, and that's what it's all about. Saved my life.
Have you ever visited this part of Pennsylvania? I know you're at Geisinger. Have you seen this area of the state?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I've been up there several times and then around the area. You know, you're not too far from the Poconos, so I've certainly skied up there, and I know that you're right up around Mount Carmel, which is one of the, as far as I'm concerned, in that whole area where you are, you know, that's all the hotbed of high school football in Pennsylvania. You know, it's where everybody there either went to Pitt or Penn State, you know that. And I remember back in the day, the Dimoniks, you know, the father, the coach, and the kids, the players going to Notre Dame. So, and I tell a funny story about my dad. My dad used to run coal up there during the war. He used to drive the coal trucks up there. And, you know, he tells me the stories about how he had no brakes and he had to go in those drive-off zones. So, I know the area very, very well, and I'm looking forward to being up there next weekend.
there's a lot of Eagles fans here, including myself, and obviously we want to know that you're still an Eagles fan.
Oh, of course. Are you kidding me? I'm bleeding green. It was really dark green this year. I mean, you know, the dream team. Come on, Vince. I've got a real good feel about what's going to happen this year. One thing about anything that goes on and success and everything you do, it's about chemistry and relationships and teamwork. And last year there were a bunch of individuals who had an awful lot of talent that just never really pulled it together as a team until later on in the season when it was too late. This year I think they'll be fine. And I really think they'll be contenders for the Super Bowl. So let's hope so. But, yes, I am an Eagles fan.
What do you think of Michael Vick?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Mike, he made his mistakes. We've all made mistakes. And everybody's deserving of a second chance in life. And Mike, as a person, I like the kid. I call him a kid. I've been with him on an occasion. My kids adore him. He's treated my children with respect. He treats me with respect. And I think he's done a nice job overcoming some obstacles that he had in the past. And as a quarterback, one more year of working with my buddy Doug Peterson, who's the quarterback's coach, and teaching the guy to sit in that pocket and, you know, trust the offense and trust what he sees downfield and not taking off and scrambling, because, you know, we need him in the field. We can't get him banged up. But I like Mike, and I think that we have the quarterback that can take us to the promised land.
And if you wouldn't mind, just how has football evolved? I mean, you talked about your $21,000 salary, and I look at, you know, DeSean Jackson, who wants, you know, all this money. It's just amazing how it's transformed over the years, and I'm sure it's shocking to you.
Well, you know, it's not that shocking now when you see the money that's come in and the contracts that the NFL owners have made with the networks and all the other, you know, the sponsors that have the shoes, the beverages, whatever it might be, the snacks. I mean, it's just amazing that the money that's coming in, and certainly in that particular, you know, the game is what it is, not because of the owners or the sponsors, it's because of the players, and certainly there has to be some sharing of that. So I don't really have a problem with the money that they're making, because, you know, knowing that, you know, that I'm a little banged up now, and I only played for 4 years. You know, just get and take what you can get out of it, you know, but just give it everything you have. My biggest concern with the game today is just it's changed so much, you know, and it seems like the fundamentals aren't the way they used to be, certainly when I was playing. The rules are so much different because the salaries are so high and there's so much to lose. They're changing the rules drastically to take away impact. And I'm not talking about the spearing rules. You know, it's just the contact, which before when I was playing, my God, if I had those rules that we had today, I'd have been kicked out of the game two or three times without a doubt. And not because I was a dirty player, it's just because I would have broken the rules the way they are today.
Right.
And somebody have gone so far to say it's flag football, Allie. I wouldn't go that far. But it certainly isn't the same rough-and-tumble kind of football that I played, or the kind of football that Chuck Bednarik played. You know, everybody's hero from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, you know, up in your area. You know, that kind of football. Or you know, Tommy Wodishek, who's from up in that area, you know, in the Poconos. And those guys, you know, they were the leather helmets, and it certainly isn't the leather helmets now. So some people say it's feather helmets, but I won't go that far. But the game has changed. But, hey, get what you can out of it, because just like that, it can end with an injury, or you'll no longer become what they consider to be a valuable asset, because that's the way they look at you anymore.
Okay. I can't thank you enough for your time with us. And number 83 jersey, I'm sure you still see some around Philly.
Oh, my God, I get so excited when I see it. And it's fun because I walk up to people and say, oh, man, he's my favorite player. And, you know, at first I'll do a double take, and then they'll realize that it's me. So it's a pretty cool thing to see somebody wearing my jersey. Who'd have thunk it, right, Allie? I mean, you know, it's pretty cool stuff when you think about it. So spend a day in my shoes, and you'll see how much fun it is. It's pretty cool.
Vince Papale, who was in our area just about a week or so ago, and Allie Stevens caught up with him and had a little bit of a discussion there. Great to hear his side of the, not only the movie, but also his side of, you know, just the way his life has gone since becoming the unusual, an eagle, an unusual way. We'll have more of the Steve Jones Show coming up. Fran Fischer is on the way in the next half hour. So is Doug Birdsong.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make the month of March Sunbury Motors Hyundai Month. During the month of March, test drive any new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai, and you'll receive a $15 Brewers Outlet gift card. Why should you test drive a new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai? Well, listen to these awards. The 2012 Hyundai Sonata is the winner of Lowest Cost of Ownership by Kelley Blue Book. And the 2012 Hyundai Elantra was named Best Car Under $20,000 by AOL.auto.com. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And every Hyundai purchased at Sunbury Motors Hyundai receives an additional set of tires. If you're looking for a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or at sunburymotors.com.
It's time to come home to where you belong. Celebrate your life in a place of your own. It's time to come home.
We've been waiting so long to build our new home.
Yeah, seems like it'll never happen.
The wait is over.
Fine Line Homes is offering bold incentives to help everyone realize the dream of a new home while interest rates are low. Sign now to take advantage of bold incentives to build your home right now. Come in to learn how you can save thousands of dollars. See Fine Line Homes for a site-built home in Central and Northeast PA and Southern New York.
Fine Line Homes has an excellent reputation, and they offer very competitive prices through volume purchasing for their five locations.
I'm so excited to finally build our new home.
It's the Sign Everyone promotion from Fine Line Homes. Check out their website for the nearest model home and display center at finelinehomes.com.
It's time to come home.
Steve Jones Show on WKOK and online at WKOK.com. Kevin Herr in for Steve Jones today. Steve, as we talked about yesterday, on the way to the Big Ten tournament, and he is en route as we speak to Indianapolis. We'll have the game coming up for you tomorrow here on WKOK, and that will be a 1:30 airtime scheduled tip for 2 o'clock, yeah, their first game in the Big Ten tournament. In the Garden in New York with 7:44 left in the second, it is Georgetown leading Pittsburgh 53-40. Georgetown outscoring Pittsburgh 31-23 in the first half to establish that lead. Number 13, Georgetown again leading midway through the second, 53-40. Later on tonight, it will be Bucknell hosting Lehigh. The Bison on a four-game win streak, but the Lehigh Mountain Hawks on a seven-game win streak. And, of course, Lehigh, the last team to dump off Bucknell. That'll be at Soika Pavilion, 7 o'clock. The winner goes to the big dance. And the loser will have a shot anyway at going to the NIT. Bucknell, as we addressed yesterday, automatically gets the NIT bid, being the Patriot League champion if they don't go to the big dance. Lehigh would have to get an at-large bid if they lose to Bucknell. That's a possibility anyway, according to most of the people that put together early bracketology for the NIT. And don't forget the winner of the game itself, as I said, going to the big dance. And a lot of those tournament automatic bids will be determined here in the next day. And then the rest of those, including the Big Ten tournament and some of the other major tournaments, will be decided over the weekend. And then, of course, the Bison hoping they can have a big Selection Sunday event at Bucknell University coming up on Sunday night and find out where they're going to go. But first step is they have to get through tonight's game, and we'll talk more about that with Doug Birdsong coming up. Great interview with Fran Fischer. Steve and Fran do some reminiscing. If you missed it last month, it's an encore of that coming up after Sarah Bartlett in the news. This is the Steve Jones Show. You can visit us online, stevejonesshow.com, and hear any of our show archives 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at your leisure. Steve Jones Show on WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, filling in for Steve Jones, here's Kevin Herr.
Kevin Herr in for Steve Jones, as the band just said. This is still the Steve Jones Show. He still gets his name on the show. He's just on his way to Indianapolis at the moment. Actually, technically, he might still be there. I mean, it can't be too long of a flight. supposed to leave around 2. That's assuming he didn't get diverted to Pittsburgh again, but that's a whole other topic. Updating on the college basketball from the Big East at Madison Square Garden is Georgetown 57, Pittsburgh 45. Again, 5:46 to go in the second there. The big game tonight in Lewisburg, the Soika Pavilion. 6 o'clock airtime on our sister station, Eagle 107 at eagle107.com. 7 o'clock tip from the Soika. Bucknell hosting Lehigh. Lehigh on a 7-game win streak coming in. Bucknell on a 4-game win streak coming into this game. And Sarah Bartlett also says since she talked with us a few moments ago, there's been a fatal crash on Route 54 and Sleepy Hollow Road near Elysburg. Crews are on the scene. Caution is advised. Again, that is a fatal crash, Route 54 and Sleepy Hollow Road near Elysburg. Crews are on the scene at this point. And we'll give you more on that a little bit later on, probably more toward 5 o'clock with the late-day news roundup here on WKOK. Steve Jones caught up with Fran Fischer. A very interesting interview. If you had not had a chance to hear it yet in the month of February, where we had it the first time, or online at stevejonesshow.com, you're going to get a chance today.
For you, of course, it's been an emotional time, like it has for all of us. And how was last week for you to handle?
Well, it was emotionally draining. You hit the nail on the head, particularly the combination of things, the unusual way that his career was abruptly ended, and I'll not get editorial on that. And then, of course, his death was not expected, or at least it wasn't expected as far as I was concerned, because the last time I saw him, I thought he looked pretty good.
Yeah, me too.
And then the memorial service, and then the tribute thing, which was powerful.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. I mean, the words and also the variety of speakers that were brought in that really showcased every aspect of contribution and impact.
All those players said the same thing, but in their own inimitable way. It was well, well done. Guido deserves a lot of credit, if he had anything to do with it.
He had a lot to do with it.
But it had his appearance to it, didn't it?
It sure did, and he had a lot to do with it. He put all of that together. He's done a great job over time of the branding part of it, but you were there at the initial stages where the Penn State brand was Eastern football program, had gone to a couple of bowl games, and that was the brand at the
well
moment.
Put.
Then when he ascends to being a head coach, it now is his job to not only put a football product on the field that people want to see, but also find the outlets for them to either listen to it or see it. How media savvy was he in the early days in combination with his coaching?
Well, Joe was savvy about everything. It didn't take him long to nurse along and to cudgel and to make the media feel important. Jim Tarman, of course, made sure of that by getting him as much exposure as possible. And he's a natural, as you know. He's glib. He's articulate. He can be funny when he wants to be. He can be questioning when he wants to be. So it didn't take him long to win the media over insofar as he as a person is concerned. Everybody was a little skeptical about his coaching ability, particularly when he went 5-6 his first 11 games. But it didn't take long for everybody, including the fans, the alumni, the media, to recognize there was something here.
And when he went out and talked to you about what to do with the radio network, he wanted affiliates. He wanted, you know, not just markets. He wanted as many affiliates as possible. And for you, that had to be a plus in terms of what you wanted to do job-wise.
That's the blessing. When I ask him what is most important to him in terms of the radio network, dollars or coverage, he said coverage. Whoa, that makes my job a lot easier.
Sure.
And so the people responded well. And then on top of that, of course, came the immediate or nearly immediate success of the program in 67, 68, 69, and we were in a seller's market.
The next part was that he also, especially with his New York background, watched Notre Dame highlights.
Yeah,
knew it existed. Everybody
Absolutely.
Knew. C.D. Chesley had put it together.
Yes, sir.
Lindsey Nelson, Paul Hornung would broadcast it. They'd play it on Sunday. He wanted very much the same thing. Explain the genesis of that.
Well, he was happy with TV quarterbacks and its limited coverage, and it was a different piece because there wasn't the whole game kind of thing. And it's amazing how many Penn State fans back then weren't satisfied with just highlights. They wanted to see the whole game over again. And the success of the Notre Dame picture with Cass Chesley getting affiliates all over the country, he said, why can't that happen here? And so an organization put together a package, did it for a year, and unfortunately, kind of at the last minute, the second year, they weren't able to handle it. So Nelson Goldberg at Total Communication Systems was involved with our radio network in as much as he sold the network availabilities. He didn't have anything to do with station recruitment. He just sold the network availabilities. First time he ever did that. Nelson stepped into the breach, put it together, and his ability to get New York market made him a star.
Right.
And it sure helped.
Right. And that was the key. Joe knew if they could somehow break into New York, they were going to be on their way.
Absolutely. And, of course, they got excellent coverage in the Commonwealth.
Oh, outstanding. And, of course, the TV quarterbacks was actually developed out of what was called, I believe, Wednesday quarterbacks.
That's right.
With Rip Engel was the coach
right.
on the show. Harris Lopez,
Ken Holderman. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And over time, you had a lot of fun with that show. You'd be on with Jim Tarbin.
Yeah, that was a fun show. I first started, I guess, in 67. I can't remember a lot of things, Steve. By narrating the game films, that's all I did. Right. And I had to do that from the coaches' films. And then when I started working full-time at the Division of Broadcasting, I got more involved with the program, did the player stuff and so on.
Albert Vitiello.
Yeah. People never have forgotten when I asked him, what school are you in? He looked at me like I was a nut and said, Penn State. Albert Vitiello, there's the names in the pen. And, you know, that's one of the wonderful things. Well, there aren't any wonderful things about the past week, but I saw players I haven't seen for 40 years, Steve. Yeah. That was a remarkable, remarkable show by former players. Unbelievable. Jack Baronis. I don't know the last time. Oh, well, I haven't seen him since TV quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And that was, I think, the part that took everyone aback. I think everyone knew that there would be a turnout, a huge turnout from the general public for the viewing and whatever. But it was the Letterman turning out. I believe they thought they'd be 300 to 400, and somebody told me they were 800.
I don't know how they could count them because a lot came Tuesday for the viewing and had to get back. There were some that just came for the service and they had to get back. There were some that came for all of them. Okay. Some came just for the memorial. So there was I don't think there's any way to count them. It's too bad. I don't know whether they had a sign-in kind of thing or not. Anyway, there was a flock of them.
I had Dick Girardi on a few moments ago, and I know how much fun I have working with him. I have a lot of fun working with Jack Ham. You had Jim Tarbin for many years. For those who listen to the games, they know, because there were only one or two Penn State games on television every year in the 70s. One or two. Everything else was on radio. The experience of broadcasting with Jim out there as a friend and talking with him on a week-by-week basis.
Well, you're right about the televised games. People had to depend on radio whether they wanted to or not. And
that's where I'm bailed out today. A lot of TV games.
Well, people used to tell me, friend, we watch the game, but we turn the sound down and listen to radio. And then, of course, they said, we got two games for the price of one.
No,
the one they were watching and the one they were listening to. Uh-huh. But working with Jim was a pleasure. I worked 1 year with Mickey Bergstein.
Yes.
And he's a longtime friend. I've known him for many, many, many years and was a broadcaster in the early, early days with guys like Bob Prince. The fact that Jim and I had kind of worked in an association on TV quarterbacks and the fact that Jim could be perceived by the listener as an insider, if you will, and be able to impart things that nobody else would know was the rationale. And being a very good friend and it was helpful. And I think you can tell that when two guys broadcast together, whether they really like each other.
Yeah.
You can't hide some of those things. There are times when I've heard broadcasts when I don't think these two guys get along necessarily. Perhaps it's because the color man has designs on his job. I don't know. But anyway, with Jim, a longtime friend, known him for years and years and years and years. And he was good. He didn't overdo it. He prepared himself extremely well. And it was a conversational kind of arrangement. And then, of course, working with George, which is an experience of a lifetime.
Yes, and that was an experience.
Wonderful guys. Okay, I'm very fortunate to see you.
Yeah, well, same here. I know that the two people I work with right now, I can't say.
Isn't that great to be comfortable?
I mean, you walk into the booth every single game. Number one, you're anxious to be there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think everybody wants a job where they're anxious to be there. And then you walk in, and you're anxious to work with the person you're working with.
Yep.
It can't work out any better. It's always great seeing you, by the way.
Good to see you. At my age, good to see anybody, Steve. good to be with you, Steve.
Always love Fran Fisher. Great conversation with Steve Jones from about a month ago. Hope to have him on the Steve Jones Show again in the very near future. Lots of great history there. Of course, you know, being a Penn State fan for a long time brings back a lot of memories, as I'm sure it will to you, too. Doug Birdsong is standing by at Soica Pavilion. We're getting ready for the big game tonight for the Patriot League Championship and an automatic trip to the dance. We'll have that coming up on the Steve Jones Show here on WKOK.
Spring into great wireless savings at Simply Cellular, the area's only locally owned Verizon-authorized wireless retailer located in Lewisburg and Shamokin Dam. Whether adding a smartphone to your current Verizon wireless plan or looking for a new phone or wireless internet service, Simply Cellular is your low-price, high-service leader with over 14 years' experience serving the Susquehanna Valley. As always, Simply Cellular will include a home charger, car charger, and phone book and photo transfer, a $50 value, absolutely free. Experience the locally owned advantage for yourself at Simply Cellular, your Verizon authorized wireless retailer. Route 15 next to CVS Pharmacy in Lewisburg. Call 523-3333. And routes 11 and 15 next to Pizza Hut, Shamokin Dam. 743-4500. Simply Cellular, simply the best. Open 7 days a week. And parents, enjoy our child safe play zone while you shop at Simply Cellular.
Shamokin Dam Health Center, designed with you in mind.
This is Dr. Dunnigan from Shamokin Dam Health Center. We believe a combination of care is the best approach to total health. As we continue to expand on the services we provide, we are now offering massage therapy as a part of our natural approach to help you stay healthy. Our licensed therapists provide individual treatment plans to address your needs and work together with our integrated staff to restore optimal health and eliminate pain, all in one convenient location. To schedule your appointment, call 743-4333. That's 743-4333. Shamokin Dam Health Center, promoting tomorrow's health today.
Shamokin Dam Health Center, designed with you in mind.
Spring is upon us, and at Zimmerman Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Truck in Sunbury and Seals Grove, we can help you get ready for vacations, golf, and cruising. Plus lots of other fun things, but you have to get here during this showcase event and pick out your brand new 2012 Chrysler Town & Country or a new 300 Limited for as low as $359 a month. Then just sign and drive it away. That's it, no catch. We'll see you later today during the showcase event at Zimmerman's in Sunbury and Seals Grove, where you will always drive away smiling.
With approved credit, see salespeople for details, tax and tags not included.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Hur in for Steve Jones today. Steve will be on the air tomorrow, 1:30 for the pregame. Penn State in the Big Ten Tournament Round 1 game. That'll be actually Game 2 of the tournament itself. And again, that'll be at 1:30. Tip-off is scheduled for 2 here on WKOK, so a very abbreviated Steve Jones Show afterwards. And Steve will be back in the Sunbury Motors studio on Friday with us. Couple of updates from college basketball. Under a minute to go, Georgetown pretty much has things in hand over Pittsburgh now, 64-50 to advance in the Big East, although that's not official yet. The Staples Center at L.A. was 7:24 to go in the second. Oregon State and Washington State tied at 56. And in Texas, it's Northwestern State edging Lamar 52-51 with 7:30 left in the second. The other game that we're interested in tonight, as Doug Birdsong joins me from the site of the game itself, Soika Pavilion in Lewisburg, Bucknell at 24-8, taking on 25-7 Lehigh, time number 3 in this matchup, and this one has a little bit at stake. Doug, that's probably the quietest Soika Pavilion will be all night tonight.
I think you are exactly right, Kevin. How are you doing, sir?
I'm well. Good to be back with you again. Usually we're talking football, but we'll have a little round ball to chat about here this afternoon with two of the, I think, the best players, and of course, a lot of the reporters and so forth that voted here recently have the two best players in the Patriot League battling it out tonight. C.J. McCollum, the Patriot League Player of the Year, and then the runner-up for the Bison, Mike Muscala. But the one thing I have to ask is, what is it that Bucknell has been able to do to keep McCollum under control? He had 14 points back in January, then in February in the Lehigh win, 56-53, 15 points. Of course, he had a big one there that kind of erased any of the fact that he didn't score as many as he normally does. But what is it that Bucknell's been able to do defensively that most of the teams this year haven't?
Well, two words. Brian Cohen, the three-time Patriot League Defensive Player of the Year. There's nobody else in the Patriot League that plays defense individually like Brian Cohen does. And I think everybody, to a man, to a coach, they would tell you Brian Cohen can pretty much shut down anybody. And, you know, it's C.J. McCollum, it's Vlad Moldovanu in the past. You name it, anybody that has had Devin Brown for Holy Cross, who averaged about 18 points a game, held him to 2 points. So, you know, if there's somebody that you need to shut down, you put B.C. on him. And B.C. is not a headache powder, but he's a headache for the opposition.
You know what? The one thing that a lot of people say is you're the number one seed, you've got a target on your back. But when Bucknell has been the number one seed, they haven't had much to worry about in a target. They've actually played very well as the number one seed in the tournament.
You know, everybody likes your team to play with poise. And I tell you what, Coach Paulson has a team that really has that poise down pat. You know, when you get into tight situations, and while Bucknell, for the first, you know, almost three quarters of the Patriot League regular season this year, never trailed, or if they did, it was by really under 5 minutes total in all of those games, they still had challenges during the course of those games, Kevin. And, you know, even with those challenges, Bucknell always was able to manage to pull off the victory. Now, it didn't happen here against Lehigh. Didn't happen certainly at Holy Cross, where they fell down so deeply. But this team really knows how to play under composure. And, you know, when you come tournament time, composure is almost everything.
This is a Lehigh team, Doug, that you really don't want to have to put on the line very often, shooting 78%. Is the line going to be the difference? I mean, Bucknell, not a bad free throw shooting team either, averaging about 77%. Is this game going to be won at the line tonight?
Well, I think that Bucknell certainly has the inside guys that can go to the line. Certainly Lehigh does too, with Gabe Knutson. Justin Maneri will come off the bench. He's not that great of a free throw shooter. But when you get a guy like Griner and Hamilton in there who can take the ball inside too, they can draw fouls. No doubt C.J. McCollum can get to the line too. I think that, you know, Either one of these teams can really make hay at the line. Not only is Lehigh in the top five in the country in terms of team free throw percentage, but Bucknell is sixth in the country. So, you know, if it does become a free throw shooting contest, it could be anybody's ball game.
Where do you see the key to this game being?
Well, I think the key is Mike Muscala. You know, Mike had 20 points, 12 rebounds in the 67-61 win, or whatever, the win over at Stabler there, you know, a couple of months ago. And here he had a double-double, but it was 10 points and 12 rebounds, and he never did seem to get untracked. If Mike can get untracked, then he and C.J. McCollum, for all intents and purposes, could kind of cancel out one another. And really, if you go back to the game there at Stabler, obviously Mike had 6 more points than C.J., who ended up with 14. Mike had 20. So, you know, that's a huge key. And the problem is Mike tweaked his ankle in practice Monday, so we aren't positive whether he's going to be 100% tonight or not. If he is, if everything goes according to plan, those two guys could cancel each other out. And then it's the ulterior guys, the other guys. Brian Cohen was huge in that game at Stabler Arena. He was left open, and he hit some big threes. Here, he missed some threes. So some of the ulterior, the other guys, if you will, they made a difference both at Stabler and here at Soika just a couple of weeks ago.
Well, that's going to mean some quality minutes on the bench, especially if Muscala is not 100% or can't play. And I know Bryson Johnson and Brian Fitzpatrick had some good games from the bench just the last time out.
Oh, yeah. No, Brian Fitzpatrick, man, he is. There are a lot of teams in the Patriot League that would like to have a guy like Brian Fitzpatrick come off the bench and spell a, you know, MVP-type player like Mike Muscala. He had 8 points in that game against Lafayette. And, you know, it's so funny. Talking with Brian, he is a transfer from the University of Pennsylvania. And both at Penn and in his high school career, he was known more as an outside shooter. But instead of going outside, Coach Paulson said, we need some inside strength, not only from Mike Muscala and also Joe Willman, but from you, Brian. He came through big time this year, and he has some really nice moves. And if you watch the Lafayette game there on Saturday, I guess it was, man, he had some really beautiful moves where he faked the jump shot about the top of the key and was able to drive down. He's very quick. He can run the floor very well.
Doug, how important is it in the Patriot League? I mean, we know in a lot of the big arenas, you know, how important it is to have a very active crowd. But when you have the close proximity that you do at the Soika, how important is it to have that home court advantage in a game like this and be able to have that intimidation factor?
I think it means almost everything. You know, there have only been, I think, 5 times that the number one seed, the home seed, the top team at home has lost in the championship. Bucknell was one of those back in 93 over at Davis Gym, the old arena that Bucknell played in. But Bucknell also won on the road in 2005 at Holy Cross. It's few and far between, though. I mean, if you are the number one seed, the host team, more often than not, you're going to win. You know, we saw Valparaiso lose last night to Detroit big, actually, but those are few and far between.
Tonight, Bucknell and Lehigh from Soika Pavilion. Doug, you have the call on Eagle 107 beginning at 6:30 tonight. 7 o'clock is tip-off, and I think probably the suggestion is to be able to get into the Soika around 5:30.
Exactly. In fact, if you can get there earlier, it would probably behoove you because parking is always a premium when you come to Bucknell.
So folks that are coming to the game, all kidding aside, it was kind of a joke, but all kidding aside, with people coming to the game, what are the suggested areas right now? I know you had talked about, you and I were talking earlier about some shuttles that are going to be available. What is the best way if you don't have a parking spot already available for you?
Well, come early. That would be number one.
That helps.
And it does help. And there should be some parking by the field house. Most people will see the field house as they enter Moore Avenue off Route 15 off to the left. It's the big building. You can't miss it. There should be parking there. But if not, you know, you may have to park above Christy Mathewson Memorial Stadium. That's when the shuttles will come in. There's a ton of parking up that part. I mean, it's a little bit of a hike, but certainly not, you know, a Penn State-type hike if you have to walk all the way, you know that.
I've made that hike, yes, up and down, as a matter of fact. Yes.
So it's nothing like that. And there will be shuttle buses that will, you know, traverse around campus and so forth. So getting there early certainly is a good help. But there are a lot of side streets there, 7th Street, you know, a couple of other side streets by the campus, too, that I'm sure you'll be able to park. I'll tell you a good place to park, though, would be on the West Fields Complex because there is a little underground tunnel that goes under Route 15.
Yeah.
You could park over by what they call the Monkey Cages, which is close to the soccer field, a beautiful soccer facility, home stadium. And, you know, it's not that far of a walk, really, at all.
We cover it all on the Steve Jones Show. Not only we cover the game, but we tell you the best place to park, too.
That's right.
Hey, Doug, thanks. Have a great call tonight, and I'll be at the Soika here in a few to enjoy the festivities along with a host of other psychos, no doubt.
All right, Kevin, look forward to seeing you tonight.
Thank you. Doug Birdsong joining us from Soika Pavilion again, 6:30, the pregame on Eagle 107 and eagle107.com. Tip-off is set for 7 o'clock tonight. Big sports news of the day, well, not really a big because everybody kind of expected it. Peyton Manning no longer an Indianapolis Colt. Where does he go? That's one of the topics we may talk about here on Friday and as we wrap things up for the week. My thought is that he goes to Arizona. I think it's a good fit for him. It's an indoor stadium. It's in a warmer climate, doesn't have to play a ton of games in a cold climate. Miami has also been discussed, but I think the problem with Miami, just my thought, you have to go to Buffalo and you have to go to New York and you have to do it in the cold. Listen, when you get to be the age of Peyton Manning and myself, cold is not something you do really well. Steve Jones Show will take a small hiatus tomorrow, then we'll be back on Friday. Don't forget Penn State basketball tomorrow at 1:30 in place of the Steve Jones Show here on WKOK. Have a great night. Enjoy the basketball game tonight from the Soika.